Ledmar said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him. In other words, serving him with body, mind, and words. These nine processes are accepted as pure devotional service. And the next verse, translation, one who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these nine methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. So today we're discussing bandhanam, and I'll read a very short purport. Process number six, bandhanam. Although prayers are part of deity worship, they may be considered separately like other items, such as hearing and chanting. And therefore, separate statements are given herewith. Separate statements given herewith, meaning this is a separate category. Although it's prayer as part of deity worship, it also exists independently, and it has its own category. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences. And one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. I want to read that again. Because what's being described here is that prayer is something not mechanical, not artificial, but a little more spontaneous, or at least heartfelt. So let's listen to what Prabhupada said again. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences. And one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. So sometimes what you'll find is that prayers are not always asking Krishna for something. Sometimes they're just appreciating. You're beautiful, you're transcendental, you're funny, your mercy is this or that. It's just appreciation. The devotee is not asking anything. It's appreciation of some aspect of Krishna. So there are prayers like that. So that seems to be one aspect of what Prabhupada's describing here. You just get inspired because Krishna is so beautiful. And Vaishnava is poetic. As Prabhupada said, poetry springs from love. When you love something, like you may love your country, so you write a poem about your country. So when you love something, you write poetry. So prayers are often very poetic because they spring from love, right? So prayer doesn't just have to be your asking. It may be appreciation. And sometimes we see prayers, a devotee deprecates himself. He appreciates Krishna's mercy, but he also appreciates that he is so low that without that mercy he would be dead. So sometimes appreciation may come in the form of putting yourself very low, because that makes Krishna even higher or better. Because if I'm very low and Krishna saves me, that means his mercy is very great. So that I'm such a low person and you save me, that glorifies your mercy. Right? So sometimes prayers are like that. It's just very spontaneous. How is it that I am a devotee? It's inconceivable, Prabhupada, your mercy is. I can't understand it. That someone as fallen as I can take to devotional service, that means your mercy is infinite. So that's a glorification, out of appreciation, that somehow I've been saved Like Prahlad Maharaj, he appreciated Narada Muni. So if it wasn't for him, where would I be? So sometimes appreciation will come out of our fallen nature. And actually you can see that unless one feels oneself lowly, it's difficult to appreciate. Just like sometimes we may not appreciate other devotees. That's because of pride. But when you feel yourself low, then you'll see you appreciate more. Oh, that devotee's so nice. He's doing something I should be doing. Then I appreciate it. But if I think I'm the best devotee, which means I'm firmly situated in tamaguna, then that's the paradox, right? How do we know who's the best devotee? Find the devotee who thinks he's the worst devotee, then you found the best. Find the one who thinks he's the best, then you found the worst. So you will see in your own life that when you appreciate your fallen nature, it enables you to appreciate the good qualities of another. And if you appreciate too much your own qualities, you'll tend to not appreciate others because you'll think, I have them all, what's to appreciate? So here Prabhupada saying how is, you know, prayer is genuine. It's coming from a real state of Krishna conscious humility. So I'll read it once more because three times is good in Kali Yuga, right? Three strikes and you're out. Let's see if we can remember this for the third time. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way, he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided. A. To offer obeisances on one hand. I don't know why this is here. Maybe somebody could help me. Because we read the offenses yesterday. These are offenses in the process of bandhana? Okay. Okay, offering obeisances with one hand, offering obeisances with one's body covered to show one's back to the deity, to offer obeisances on the left side. To offer obeisances, okay, because in relation to offering obeisances, okay, thank you. So, this past weekend, I was in Faridabad, and we had done a workshop on vows, and I had just returned from Mauritius, where we had this amazing Kirtan Mela, that Sachinandan Swami went into ecstatic fits in a way I've never seen him before, and this was certified as the ultimate best Kirtan Mela. So I got infected a little bit by the mood of Kirtan. So although we were doing a workshop for a couple of days, I was doing lots of Kirtan in the workshop because I had been, as I said, infected by the Kirtan bug. And in one portion of the workshop, we were talking about upgrading vows. Like, you may have taken a vow, but you can upgrade it. So I gave the example, everyone's taken a vow, chant 16 rounds. Well, how good if you can upgrade it to chant 16 good rounds, or excellent rounds, or maybe I can upgrade some other aspect of my devotional service. So then I was telling the devotees that certainly all of us run into some kind of wall or dead end in trying to improve ourselves. And because this course was on vows, so I said, think of something that, or some vow that you're sometimes challenged with. And then I offered a process, which is turn it over to Krishna. Just turn it over. And I told the story. I'm leading into Kirtan as prayer. Then I told a story, which I've never forgotten, and I think you'll appreciate it. It's a story of a devotee I was helping, and he was having difficulty following one of the principles of Krishna consciousness, and we worked many years together. And then I come back from India after 9 months, so I connected with him, and I said, how's it going? And he said, I've given up. I can't do it, I've given up. I said, after all that counseling, everything I've done for you, you've given up. He said, no, don't worry, it's not a problem. I realized that I couldn't do this on my own, so I told Krishna, I give up. And I give it over to you. Now the problem is solved. It's gone, it's finished. That's also a form of prayer, right? Krishna, I can't. This problem is so big. I've tried. I've fallen 100 times, 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times. I give up. I give it over to you. So I ask the devotees, think of something like that in your life where you kind of feel like, I just can't get over this hurdle. And now we're going to do kirtan. And we're going to throw our hands up in the air like Draupadi. And just say, Krishna, it's all yours. I give up. So we had a wonderful kirtan. It was very prayerful. Everybody was focused on something that they maybe have even given up trying to overcome. And then I got a question later in the workshop, and this question depressed me, discouraged me, and made me want to give up my Krishna consciousness. No, not really, but I don't like this question. And the question was, how can we hear the holy name when we pray? We're just supposed to hear and chant. When people ask me that question, I honestly feel like strangling them. I have to admit, it bothers me. And you're thinking, Mahatma, that's not a nice thing to say. But it really bothers me, because inherent in that question is we've made chanting devoid of prayer. We've just made it a mechanism. How do you hear the holy name when you pray? You're just supposed to chant with your tongue and hear with your ear. So I can't pray, because if I pray, it gets in the way. I feel like screaming. And I hear that so much. One time is too much, but I've heard it more than one time. So, of course, we know where this comes from. It comes from the morning walk conversation where they're talking about chanting, and I believe it was Tamal Krishnamurti said, Prabhupada, I can't control my mind when I chant. And Prabhupada said, what's a question of mind? You just chant with your tongue and you hear with your ear. Fine. That's become the new universal mantra for mechanicalizing the chanting of Hare Krishna and the Hare Krishna movement. When Prabhupada says something, there's a context of many, many instructions. And Prabhupada didn't mean by saying this, just chant like a robot. All you have to do is say the mantra with your tongue and hear it. Just be a perfect robot and your life will be perfect. He didn't mean that, but that's how it's often taken. So then we come up with things and, well, if you pray, how do you hear the holy name? And it drives me crazy when people say that, because the holy name is a prayer. What kind of question is that to ask? How do you pray a prayer if you have to hear it? That's basically what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense if you think about it, does it? Holy name is not mantra. It's vocative. Hey Krishna, hey Radha. It's a prayer. It's not, oh God, you are great. It's, hey God, save me. That's what it is. It's a prayer. It's not Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's, hey Krishna, I'm down here. I need to go up there. Can you help me? That's what it is. Right? So, we are in the Hare Krishna movement, and here Prabhupada is talking about Bandhanam in today's class. And Bandhanam, and the holy name is Bandhanam. Everything, actually, every process is contained within the holy name. So Bandhanam is an essential aspect of chanting the holy name. So when we talk about Bandhanam, how could you not talk about Kirtanam? Because Kirtanam is a prayer, like that, right? So I just want to say a few things, just to emphasize this, because Kirtan is our essential process. And this keeps coming up. Just chant and hear. That's the process. don't do anything else. We're turning everyone into robots when we teach that. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, chanting is not lip deep, it's heart deep. So you can't just tell somebody, just chant and hear. You have to explain what Prabhupada meant by that. Prabhupada never told us to chant like a robot. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta said something else, quite heavy. He said, if you just recite the syllables of the holy name, that's mayak sound. And he made up that word. It's a Sanskrit word, right? Maya. So it becomes mayak. I see is English. Maya is Sanskrit. So mayak comes a combination fusion of a Sanskrit and an English word, like karmic. It's your karmic destiny. Karmic is not a Sanskrit word, is it? It's an English Sanskrit word with an English ending. So he made up this word, mayak. It's mayak. If you just chant the name with your tongue and not your heart, it's mayak sound. And then he said, the chanting depends on the essence of the chanting is your intention. Why are you chanting? What is there? He said, that is the essence of the holy name. And that intention is what? It's your prayer. It's what you put into the holy name. Right? So, now, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Sham Shakurita Ki Jai, O Premanand. Mere recitation of the syllables is not the holy name. The holy name is where the intention is to serve. That's the real holy name. So you see how important prayer is in chanting the holy name. It's the essence of it. So one time, Prabhupada explained this, very interesting. He explained that when you say Hare Krishna, just like if I say, hey Shonaka, and Shonaka comes, yes, you want to talk? He said, I think the last time I saw you was here, wasn't it? Yeah. Shonaka and I were together in San Diego in 1972, doing all kinds of mischief in the Sankirtan movement. Hey Shonaka! He said, yes, yes, what do you want? So Prabhupada said, when you chant Hare Krishna, Krishna comes and asks you, what do you want? So now you're expressing your want to Krishna. That's called prayer. What do you want? I'm petitioning you. What do you want? So chanting is prayer. Chanting is prayer. It's all about prayer. It's not mechanical. We express our desire through the holy name. Now there's another point that emphasizes this. And it's in Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that when we chant, we should meditate on the meaning. Now here's another problem. You say, oh my God, I was just told I'm supposed to just hear, and now I'm told you're supposed to meditate on the meaning. So if I meditate on the meaning, how can I hear? And now I was told I'm supposed to pray. I'm completely confused. I'm just going to put my beads down and take a little nap and try to figure this out later. That is true. This happens. Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, meditate on the meaning. And the acharyas have given us different meanings of the holy name. And you're thinking, but I only thought the holy name meant one thing. Oh, Krishna, Radha, let me serve you. Well, the holy name is an expression of the need of the devotee. So if you study a little bit the various meanings of the holy names, you'll see that different acharyas have expressed it differently according to their own mood, their own bhav, their own nature, their own desire, and their own needs. Just as all of you have various needs according to your level of Krishna consciousness, right? In a very low level of Krishna consciousness, your hope during japa is to stay awake and maybe hear a few beads, right? That's about all you expect, right? But on a higher level of Krishna consciousness, you expect something else, like, when will I get some taste for the leelas of Radha and Krishna? When will I become qualified to enter those pastimes? But still, the point is, that's the essence. You're asking, you're praying. So according to your level, it will mean different things. So the acharyas have given many, many meanings. But the interesting thing is, if you study those meanings, all the meanings are prayers. Please pull my heart to you. That's one of the meanings. Please make me qualified to serve you. Or as Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, when will that day be mine? When my offense is ceasing, taste for the name increasing, when or when will your mercy shine? When will that day be mine? When there's tears? So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur says meditate on the meaning, again he's saying the same thing that Prabhupada said. What do you want? Hare Krishna, yes, you're calling, you want something? Krishna, can you save the Mahaprasadam for me? No. What do you want? I want to come to the next level of bhakti. Right? Isn't it? So, as I said, there are different kinds of prayers, but one, generally, when we think of prayers, we think of petitioning Krishna for something, and that's what we're doing when we're chanting. So I'm going to take this idea a little further. If prayer means to petition, then what are we petitioning Krishna for? I think one of the things we should all look at in our own life is that we're petitioning Krishna to come to another level. I'm at this level and I want to get to this level, and somehow or other I'm not getting there. I'm doing everything I can, but it's not happening. So our prayer is, Krishna, can you help me? I have this problem or this desire to come to another level of devotional service. Can you help me with it? So in that way, prayer becomes kind of a sankalpa, where you're making an intention to go from where you are to a place that may be a little difficult for you to achieve. Because prayer means I'm calling for some mercy to make something happen that I can't make happen on my own. That's the whole idea of prayer, isn't it? So you can pray for something which is a little bit difficult or seemingly impossible because you're invoking mercy. At the same time, we have a caution, because Prabhupada said, first deserve, then desire. So I have to have some qualification for what I'm praying for. So if it's too high and I'm too unqualified, it becomes a problem. And I want to tell a story. This is one of the most amazing things I've ever heard. Did that get your attention? I'll say it again. This is one of the most amazing things I ever heard Prabhupada say. Is everybody listening? Okay. Hare Krishna. So, I'll preface. I'll give some background information that'll lead up to this. It's a question that was asked to Prabhupada about mercy, praying for mercy. I'll tell the story first. Okay. So, a devotee was praying to Prabhupada for mercy. Prabhupada, I want your mercy, I need your mercy, like this, praying. He was praying for a lot of mercy, buckets full. We need as much as we can get, right? If you go to the pure devotee, if he can give you buckets full, get it. Because our Shastra says, if you want to go from here to here in 10 seconds, go grab the feet of a pure devotee, because that's how you'll get there. Otherwise, you're going to be working really hard all your life. But if you get the association of a pure devotee, you can get from 0 to 100 in a few seconds. So he was asking for buckets. You know, that's what you ask for, buckets. Buckets of kripa. Of course, you might say, kripa bindu, just give me a drop. One drop is all I need. It's true. One drop is all we need. Gurudev kripa bindu diya. But if you can give buckets, why not ask for it? That's the American mentality, right? One drop's enough, but we're Americans, we'll ask for buckets. You know? Because in America, one drop's not enough. So Prabhupada said something amazing. He said, you cannot handle all that mercy. You can't handle it. It's too much. Isn't that interesting? And then he explained it this way. And I'll first give an example. In the history of the Hare Krishna movement, there are a lot of devotees who got a lot of mercy and did amazing things. They're amazingly empowered by Krishna. They're just like Krishna consciousness under their jurisdiction was spreading like wildfire. Hundreds of devotees joining every year, thousands, hundreds of thousands of books going out, new temples being built. These devotees were empowered, definitely by Krishna empowered. There was one problem. They couldn't hold the mercy in their little bucket and it exploded. They became proud. So Prabhupada said, you cannot handle the mercy, he meant you'll become proud. If Krishna gives you all that mercy, you become empowered. And what happens when you become empowered? People tell you you're empowered. And what happens to a person who's not humble when people tell them they're empowered? And they believe it. And then they begin to think they're distinct from other devotees. Nobody is preaching like me. Now, you don't have to have some huge preaching program to do this, to think this way. You just have to be able to do something a little better than most devotees and you can start thinking like this. Like maybe your kirtan is sweeter. Maybe your class is a little better. Maybe your preaching is a little more dynamic and innovative. Maybe the results you get are a little better than everyone else. That's all you need. That's enough to go crazy and think you're distinct from others. So that's what Prabhupada meant. He said, you're praying for mercy. I think we also need to pray to be qualified to get the mercy and not have it drive us crazy. Isn't that interesting? Because who would think when you get mercy, you would become proud? But look at it. We have so many devotees in this movement who were definitely empowered by Prabhupada to do amazing things that are not with us now preaching. Because they became a little proud of their position. But to do what they did required mercy. Yes, they couldn't have done it. Krishna Shakti Vina. So you can't spread Krishna consciousness if you don't have Krishna Shakti. That's what the verse means. It's not just because you're a good business person. It doesn't work that way. You don't make devotees because you're a good business person. You make devotees because you have Krishna Shakti. They see it, they feel it, they're influenced by it, and they want to surrender. So these people were doing that. Definitely doing it. But along the way, they couldn't handle. Their bucket wasn't big enough and cracked. So I think it's important when we pray for mercy, we also pray for qualification. Krishna, give your mercy. And if your mercy actually works, please give me the qualification that it won't make me proud. Isn't that interesting? Mercy can make you proud. Now, I want to talk about two other stories of mercy which I think are instructive, because prayer often comes in the form of begging mercy of the Vaishnavas. So one devotee asked Prabhupada, he said, please give me your mercy so I can read your books. And Prabhupada said, my books are my mercy. And another funny story along this line that I was recently told. As you know, if you're in an Indian body, you understand more than anybody the value of blessings. So Indians, when they approach a sadhu, they naturally ask for blessings. It's their training, it's in their blood. As Westerners, we have to learn that. So Indian understands that you advance by the blessings of Vaishnavas. That's the essence. The root cause of bhakti is association with the sadhu. If you get their blessing, boom, that's it. And if you offend them, you're finished. It's just, you know, it's one or the other. You're going to get their mercy and go up. You're going to offend them and crash. So they know. Get the blessing. Go, you know, whenever you see a sadhu, get his blessing. So, Prabhu Maharaj, give me your blessings. So I was told the story that once Radha Swami had given a class. You know, Maharaj likes to give long classes. So for the sake of making this story more Bollywoodish. We'll say the class was 3 hours, which is possible for Maharaj, right? So after the 3-hour class, a devotee comes and says, "Maharaj, please give me your blessings." To which Maharaj said, "That's what I just did for the last 3 hours." So then I was thinking, because of this, prayer, it's all-encompassing within our devotional service, because even when you're hearing, you have to pray to be able to take what you're hearing and practice it, because after 3 hours of hearing, you still want blessings, even though you got 3 hours of blessings. As we say in America, some screws are loose up here. You say that in India? You have the saying like that? We have another saying, the lights are on, but nobody's home. In other words, you're awake, but it's not working. Right? So, when we are hearing, also we're praying that we can understand, number one. Number two, that we can apply. Number three, we won't forget. Number four, we have realization so we can express it to others. So prayer, it's always there, right? It's always there. I find, I was thinking this morning of categorizing prayer in three ways. And you can pray. These are three categories which are not to limit how you can pray, but general categories. Because you can pray to a pastime, you can pray to every acharya, you can pray to the dust of Raj, you can pray to a Leela Stan, the Janma Stan. You can pray to so many things, so many personalities. But I was thinking that generally there's three kinds of ways that we pray aside from the glorification prayer, but ways that we pray. And one way is we pray not to go down. We pray to go up. And in a more advanced stage, we pray out. And we pray for the benefit of a fallen soul. So I was thinking, you pray in three directions, down, up, and around. Something to remember. So many of you know the story, and it's very instructive. I want to tell the story. You probably all heard it, but I want to talk about it a little bit. And this is the prayer not to go down, which is the conversation that Shruti Kirti tells us, that Prabhupada asked his disciples, "What's the difference between you and me?" And of course, there are many differences between ourselves and Prabhupada, which all the disciples listed, the unlimited differences. But there was one difference that wasn't listed. And Prabhupada said, no, the difference is that I cannot fall down, and you can fall down. And then the next morning, Shruti Kirti tells that he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada was praying to the deity. And he didn't know what Prabhupada was praying, but he was curious to know. And then after the class in Prabhupada's room, he asked him, "Prabhupada, I saw you were praying. What were you praying for?" Who knows what Prabhupada was praying? He's praying that I don't fall down. So, funny story. So Shruti Kirti says, "But Prabhupada, last night you said, the difference between ourselves and you is that you cannot fall down and I can." And Prabhupada said, "Yes, and this is the reason that I cannot fall down, because I'm always praying that Krishna, please protect me so I don't fall down." So I thought this is such a good example, because it goes back to this empowered bucket story where the bucket wasn't big enough. And certainly one of the forms of Maya that enters in the life of a devotee is when the devotee gets the mercy, he does empowered service, and something goes on up here where he thinks, "I can't fall down. Look at me. Look at how people are becoming inspired by me. Look at all the projects. I'm empowered. I can't fall down." So that's mistake number one. So Prabhupada He's teaching from this story that we should pray not to go down. So we should always be praying not to go down, just like I'll tell a story. It's a nice story. There's a man who was a famous speaker in America who was at one time an alcoholic. And he said that when he became free from alcohol, he's also a spiritualist. He's American, but he has an Indian guru. And one of the things he said is, when I wake up every morning, the first thing I pray is that I will pray to God to remain sober throughout the entire day. And he said he's been sober for 30 years. And as soon as he gets up, I don't know if he pays obeisances, but some form of obeisances is there. So I was telling the devotees in this workshop we were having on vows, I said, you made your vows so many years ago, 2 years, 5, 10, 20, 30, 40. Some devotees in ISKCON over 50 or 50. I said, but actually, if we look at this story that Shruti Kirti tells about Prabhupada, we should wake up every morning and say, Krishna, today I beg, I don't fall down. I beg, I chant my rounds, I follow the principles, and I stay steady in my service. You should do that every day, shouldn't we? As they say, if you commit to something once, you therefore need to commit to it every day. If you made a commitment and say, I'm going to do this for my life, every day you commit. So that's our prayer. Krishna, please today make this another day where I do not give up my vows to my spiritual master. I remain steady. Yeah, so that's the prayer that we don't go down. Right? So we should always pray that we don't go down and never feel proud that I can't go down. Now, there's a verse in Shastra spoken by the Avanti Brahman, and the Avanti Brahman says, Aham Tarishami, I will cross over. Where will I cross over? Duranta, the place where the end is not in sight, Tamo, the ocean of darkness. I will cross over it. And then you say, Mahatma Prabhu, there is this verse. It completely contradicts everything you just said. I will cross over the ocean of mercy, the ocean of darkness. I hope I don't cross over the ocean of mercy. I hope I swim in it. I will cross over the ocean of darkness. And we're supposed to chant this. If you take sannyas, you're supposed to chant this verse. So, isn't that a contradiction? No. The next line of the verse he says, because the past acharyas have taken this path, and I will follow this path, and I will do what they do, which is not become puffed up and think that I can do this on my own, therefore I will cross over it by their mercy. It sounds like he's puffed up, you know, because as a bona fide American, that's how we think. No. I chant good rounds. I know 376 shlokas, so I can't fall down. Right? If you feel that way, you're first on Maya's list. You're next in line, right? So even though the devotee might say, I will cross over the ocean of nescience, it's in humility. How will I do it? By being humble. By waking up every day, as he's saying, I will do it as an example of the acharyas. They did it. And how did they do it? They woke up every day and said, Krishna, please help me so I don't fall down. Right? So praying not to go down is very important. Don't just pray to go up. Pray not to go down. And then, of course, we pray to go up. I'm down here. I have no qualification to be here. But Krishna, it looks really nice up there. And somehow or other, by the association of all these wonderful devotees, I've got some taste for this thing up there that's like way higher than I am, but I'm sorry. I'm praying for it, even though I'm shameless. I'm asking. I really want to go up there. And so, your prayers to go up here come in relation to your ruchi, what your taste is. So as you advance, then your ruchi goes higher and higher. It's always going to be way beyond where you are. But that's what we're supposed to pray to, because if we don't pray that way, then you'll talk to devotees and you'll say, well, Prabhupada, what are you praying for? I'm hopeless. no hope for me in this life. Isn't it? As if you have no hope, you have no life. So our hope is something higher. Our hope is at least something higher than I'm at today. Maybe it's not so high, but higher, a little higher. That's what it means. So no one should ever think, I'm so fallen, I'm so rotten, I'm so useless, that what's the point of hoping for any elevated state of Krishna consciousness? It's impossible. No, it's the hope that gives us life, therefore Asha Bandha, hope against hope. It doesn't matter. You look at it and say, there's no way I'm ever going to achieve that. That's why you pray. Asha Bandha. I have no qualification, but I want it. Just like you're looking over at the Mahastan and they got these Rasgullas. And it says, there's a sign that says 40 rupees on them. And you only have 10, but you want that Rasgulla. So somehow or other, you know, your stomach is churning. And your stomach, you can actually hear it gargling, Rasgulla, Rasgulla. And you're looking at this 10 rupee note and you're going, Krishna, I really want that Rasgulla, but I only have 10 rupees. Krishna, Krishna. So there's a 30 rupee difference that requires some mercy. And then I'm sitting there looking at you going, oh my God, your eyes have been fixed on that Rasgulla for the last 20 minutes. Prabhu, can I buy it for you? The mercy comes, 30 rupees of mercy. You put down your 10, I put in 30, right? But otherwise, you'll just look at the Rasgulla and cry in depression. Oh, no Rasgulla for me. What's the use? My life is a waste, right? So if you don't have aspiration, you don't have life. So it doesn't matter how disqualified you are. What matters is your aspiration. And that's why it is said a man is judged by his ideals. What does he want to achieve? Prabhu, what do you want to achieve? Nothing. I'll probably become a pig in my next life in Vrindavan. I'm so fallen. But I guess that's better than nothing. Better than a pig in Delhi, I guess. No. You should aspire for very high levels of Krishna consciousness and pray for it. That's important. And then the last, we said, so you go, you pray down, you pray up, and then you pray around. That's praying for all the conditioned souls. How can I be empowered to be an instrument of my spiritual master to do something of significance to save these fallen souls? So, as you, now here's a very important point. If you're sleeping, if your neighbor is sleeping, please wake them up because this is important. You know, in our philosophy, we give extremely high regard to Vaishnavas who are compassionate as the most advanced, and we are meant to cultivate that mood. And Prahlad Maharaj has said something which is instructive. He said, Krishna, magna citta, my mind is absorbed, my consciousness is absorbed in you. And when I hear and chant about you, I feel blissful. But what bothers me is that other people are not hearing and chanting about you. And that disturbs me and I want to do something. What's the significance of this? Unless one is happy in Krishna consciousness, compassion for others will not develop significantly. Just like it's a fast day and it's time to serve prasadam and you are starving. And I say, Prabhu, can you serve? It's going to be really difficult. You don't want to serve, you want to take prasadam, right? So in some temples, they allow the servers to eat first because that way they can actually serve better because they're not thinking about eating, right? So in the same way, if you want to give mercy to others, once you are happy in Krishna consciousness, you'll stop thinking about yourself and you can finally think about making other people happy. But when you're not happy, what do you think about? You think about how to make yourself happy. Isn't it? Sometimes I do workshops for non-devotees and I tell them that you carry with you a happiness meter and you're always looking at it. And if it goes below 5, then you think, oh, I have to go to a restaurant, I have to go to a movie, I have to plug in the happiness meter and get it to a higher number. Everyone's thinking about their happiness, isn't it? That's material life. right? We're all carrying this happiness meter, and it goes below 5, and a little buzzer goes off. Your happiness meter has gone below 5. You are not happy now. You need to do something. And you start thinking, look through magazines, go on the internet, what can I buy? I'm not happy. Maybe I'll buy something. Who can I call up? Where can we go? I need some happiness. I'm not happy. So everyone is wired this way. So we come to Krishna consciousness with that consciousness. And you can, you know, adjust it and put it in Krishna consciousness and say, I'm not happy, so I need some rascal or something. But when you come to the level where you're satisfied in your own devotional service, at that point you can really think about the welfare of others. So if we're not on that level, we can pray to be on that level. And if we're on that level, we can pray to Prabhupada and all the acharyas to be empowered to do something of significance to help the fallen conditioned soul. And as Keshi Damana said 2 days ago, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, Krishna is scrupulous. That means Krishna knows what you want and he's ready to fulfill it. So if you want to be empowered to do something greater than what we're doing today, and that's sincerely your desire, and you express that to Krishna, he will use you as an instrument. So I'll end with a story. I mean, Krishna can use us to do amazing things, even if we're not amazing, isn't it? We may be whatever, but if we want to be used, Krishna can use us to do amazing things. So Los Angeles, 1972, Prabhupada said, this movement will spread with you or without you. But if you stay, you'll get the credit for spreading it. So what does that mean? Krishna's got to use somebody, right? Somebody has to do it. If Krishna consciousness is going to spread around the world, somebody has to do it. So now Krishna is scrupulous. He's looking. What about you? What about you, ready? You want to do it? You want to do it? Now, one of the most shocking experiences I had was 3 years ago in Nashi, 2 or 3 years ago. I went there, and I think it was a Kadasi. We listened to a lecture by Prabhupada. And in the lecture, Prabhupada said, all of you will have to become guru. And I looked around the room and I realized that statement went zoop, zoop. It went right in one ear and out the other at best. Usually, I think for most people, it went over the head. It didn't register at all. It just was like, nobody even, that wasn't for us. That was Prabhupada speaking to his disciples, not for us. No, it's for us. So if the movement's going to spread, everyone has to be guru. Are you ready? No, Prabhu, not me. I'm too fallen. No, too much karma. No, no, I can't do it. No, 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 no. It doesn't work that way. No. The devotee prays, Krishna, I know I'm a rascal, but I really want to serve Prabhupada. And Mahaprabhu is looking for people to serve, so I'm just praying. I can be one of them. And then you use me. Maybe I can do something significant, even though I'm useless, because you're so powerful. So that's the prayer for the down prayer, the up prayer, and the around prayer. Okay? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, O Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.